Married at First Sight. Chapter 3311. Husband, who is it? When Alice heard the ringtone, she turned and sat up, leaning over to hug her crying son. Honey, don't hug him. If you hug him, he won't drink the milk powder I prepared. Clive quickly stopped Alice from holding their son. The little guy is very naughty. He won't drink milk powder when he smells your scent. Alice saw that her son was already making milk powder, so she didn't hug him. It was okay to cry a few times. While making milk powder, Clive replied, the butler called and said that some elderly people were here, looking for Mom. They said they were the people Mom had been looking for. I don't know if it's true or not. I asked the butler to entertain them first. After I feed my son the milk powder, I will go downstairs to take a look. Is the person Mom has been looking for the most powerful around Grandma when she was alive? Alice knew all about Audrey's life experience and her grudges with the Farrell family. She also knew that Clive arranged for someone to help Audrey find someone, but he never found him. After all, decades had passed, and even her mother-in-law, Audrey, still vaguely remembered that person's appearance. After several decades, that person was no longer what her mother-in-law remembered. Furthermore, if that person were still alive, he would be in his 90s, or nearly 100 years old. They really didn't dare to hold out any hope. She felt in her heart that the old man might have died a long time ago. It wasn't easy to attack the mother-in-law, but they also made a concerted effort to find someone to help. Maybe there would be a miracle. Just like her mother-in-law, Audrey, who was looking for her sister, she searched for 20 or 30 years, saying there was no hope, but finally found two nieces, Serenity and Liberty. Finding two nieces was also a comfort to her mother-in-law. Ever since Audrey, Serenity, and Liberty met each other, Alice felt that her mother-in-law was in a much better spirit than before. Her mother-in-law was also thinking about avenging her grandmother. Maybe there was someone who could share the burden. Alice felt that her mother-in-law was not as anxious about looking for her sister. Liberty's business in Jensburg was going well, at least the company started smoothly. She had also negotiated a lot of business, and the company was still recruiting people. If you have a business, you need to recruit people. Alice didn't believe that the daughter of the Farrell family was so powerful. Now, she could see that Liberty had moved to Jensburg. Although it was not difficult to open a company with investment from three major groups, Liberty had to rely on herself to negotiate business. Liberty's ability to negotiate so much business showed that she was indeed a capable person. Maybe it really was a family genetic factor. For example, even if her mother-in-law grew up in an orphanage, she could rely on her own efforts to gain the trust and reliance of her boss and finally let her son marry her. What Alice heard most was the story about how her mother-in-law dominated the business world when she was young. She admired her mother-in-law very much. When she was younger, Clive's grandmother bullied Audrey, but after Alice married, Audrey never mistreated her. Audrey expressed her desire to prevent Alice from experiencing the rain again, citing her own exposure to it. Her relationship with Alice was as good as that between mother and daughter. Clive prepared the milk powder and brought it over. He picked up his crying son and comforted him before feeding him milk powder. The little guy was very hungry and finally got something to eat. It didn't matter whether it was brie*ST milk or milk powder. "Let's eat first," Clive said. "Yes. But I don't know if it's true or not. I have to wait until Mom gets up. Let Mom see someone. Even Mom may not be able to recognize it." Audrey was only 8 years old when the accident happened at her grandmother's house. Decades have passed, and even if she has a good memory, she may not remember the old assistant. He doesn't even dare to lie, even if he thinks about it, Alice said. Clive said, "I hope it's that old gentleman, and we don't have to look for him so hard anymore." Alice said, "Can you ask Julian if there is any news there? Are you sure the elderly people who came here are genuine?" Chapter 3312. Clive hummed and said, "I have completely forgotten about Julian." The baby was full quickly. Clive carefully handed his son to his wife to hold. He called Julian and asked if he knew the whereabouts of the old assistant. Julian said a little embarrassedly, "After searching for so long, there is still no news. Mr. Stone, I suspect that the person you are looking for is no longer alive. There were a lot of elderly people in their 70s and 80s. However, the number of individuals who were 90 years old remains significantly smaller. The old man Audrey was looking for was nearly 100 years old." Julian guessed that the other party was no longer alive. Also, because it happened decades ago, Julian received very little information. It was also a big problem for them to find people. Audrey didn't even remember the other person's name. She only remembered that when she was a child, she always called that person uncle. She didn't even know what his last name was. Teach Julian how to find it? The Buchame family had a powerful information network, but they were not gods. Even gods have to spend some time to figure it out. There were some things and some people that the Buchame family couldn't do anything about, some things and some people. Clive said, "Now several elderly people have come to my door and told my butler that they are the people my mother is looking for." Julian, are they liars? Mr. Stone, I really don't have any useful information here. Clive said, "Young Master Buchame, I have no other intention. I haven't gone downstairs yet, and I haven't seen those old people. I don't know whether it's true or not. I wanted to ask you if you have any useful information. If not, those old people are either liars, or they are so powerful that even your Buchame family can't reach out." Julian said, "Go and take a look later, ask them who they are, and find an opportunity to quietly take photos of them. If you have recent photos, it will be easier for me to find them." Clive, okay. Young Master Buchame, I disturbed you so early in the morning. Clive said apologetically, "When you come back, I'll treat you to dinner." Julian smiled and said, "It's okay, I'm asleep too." "Okay, first, remember that you can treat me to dinner when I get back. We will go back years." The family of three also stayed in Jansburg for a long time. Walter and his wife had long known each other as in-laws to Kira's parents. Kira, she hasn't even married Julian yet. The parents on both sides refer to each other as in-laws. However, Kira should be married to Julian. If she doesn't marry him, who can she marry? With Julian sticking to Kira's side like a piece of brown candy, handsome, rich, and capable of fighting, who was not afraid of death to challenge Julian and dare to steal his wife from him? Only Kira could make Julian the real man in his life. That was his destined savior. Julian would risk his life to marry Kira, and he would not allow anyone to get involved with her. "Are you coming back with your wife?" Clive joked, "When the time comes, you will have to bring your wife out so that we can get to know each other." "Julian, just let your wife meet my wife, Kira." Clive smiled and said, "Definitely." Julian was also a domineering ghost. After the call ended, Clive told his wife, "Julian will bring his future wife back to celebrate the new year. You should have more contact with her and maintain a friendly relationship with her." Julian's thighs are not easy to hug, so hugging his wife's legs is more useful. Chapter 3313. Alice smiled and said, "That's natural. Being able to hug Julian's wife is equivalent to hugging Julian's lap." Alice, the eldest mistress of a businessman, didn't have to please or flatter anyone. However, she still wanted to make friends with Julian and his wife. There would always be times when the Buchaim family was helpful. To utilize the Buchaim family, they needed to establish a relationship with Zachary that would enable them to receive assistance. Except for a few who were real friends, most of a lady's social circle consisted of purposeful contacts. Just taking advantage of each other. "Do downstairs and see if those old people are liars." Alice coaxed her son gently, "The baby will go to sleep soon. I will stay with the baby to sleep for a while. You don't need to ask me to get up for breakfast. You have to have breakfast before returning to the company." "Okay." Clive came over, kissed his beloved wife on the face, and touched his son's little face tenderly. He wanted to do nothing but be with his wife and son. "Alice, go quickly." Clive kissed his wife again and whispered, "It will be fine when the baby is 2 months old." Alice hummed. Her face was a little red. She had been a vegetarian for too long. Clive didn't even dare to touch her after she was in confinement. He said he would let her raise her child for another month and then resume their married life when the baby was 2 months old. "You guys sleep a little longer, I'll go downstairs and take a look." Clive looked at his wife deeply, then stood up straight, turned around, and walked out. Just a few minutes later. "Young master." The butler was waiting for Clive on the stairs. When he saw Clive coming downstairs, he called out respectfully. Several elderly people sat on the sofa, and the butler served them tea and snacks. At the same time, he also ordered the kitchen to prepare breakfast for a few more people. If this is truly the person the wife is looking for, the host will probably keep a few elderly people for breakfast. Being prepared is more beneficial than being unprepared. Anyway, Remy, the future son-in-law next door, would come over for some food later. When they saw Clive coming downstairs, several elderly people simply glanced at him and continued to drink their warm water. They didn't touch fruits and snacks. When the oldest one saw Clive, he stared at him long and said, "There is a little shadow. Old man, this is our eldest young master, Clive." Clive came over and said hello politely, then sat down and let the five old people look at him. He looked at the old assistant. His beard was also gray. He didn't know how many years it had taken him to grow such a long white beard. Chapter 3314. His face was full of wrinkles, and it was only three-dimensional, like the portrait his mother could barely draw from memory. No wonder Julian couldn't find anyone there. Audrey didn't remember clearly. No matter how good the painting skills were, the lifelike characters would be useless if drawn incorrectly. Was this my grandmother's all-around assistant? Clive, may I ask your surnames for these elderly people? It doesn't matter what our surnames are. No one has inquired about our surnames for decades. We don't even remember our surnames very well. The old miracle doctor was the one who spoke. Young Master Stone, I am an old doctor. I have been practicing medicine for decades, earning the title of miracle doctor from others. Lillian Carden is my apprentice. Young Master Stone, you should have heard of my apprenticeship. The old miracle doctor first introduced himself. At Clive's age, he was definitely not familiar with this old miracle doctor and had never even heard of his name. But his apprentice, Dr. Carden, must have heard of it. Dr. Lillian Carden helped Cameron treat her eyes. Young Master Stone, we prefer direct communication. We rescued this big brother decades ago. A group of killers pursued him during that period. They left him injured, poisoned, and in a state of great embarrassment. He would have died if not for good luck. We saved him, otherwise, he would have died a long time ago. After his treatment, he slowly got better, but his body still had sequelae. I have to spend a significant amount of money on high-quality medicine each day to keep him alive. When we rescued him, he was very defensive of us and refused to say anything. I sent people out to inquire for a long time, and then I found out that he is the most trusted all-round assistant of the Farrell family in Jensburg. I won't go into details about this all-around assistant. I think you already know the rules of the Farrell family. It's not that he lacks the desire to exact revenge on his family leader, but rather that he has more than enough energy, albeit not sufficient. The woman who is now sitting in the position of head of the Farrell family is not only ruthless, but also quite capable. She has also put in a lot of hard work to become the head of the Farrell family. At that time, the previous heads of the Farrell family were all dead. Her third sister, lacking the protection of the eldest sister, tragically died in an accident. Even if my eldest brother returns to seek retribution, it remains uncertain whether he will be able to exact his revenge. Once he exacts his revenge, he will no longer hold the position of head of the Farrell family. For whom to sit? My eldest brother has a stubborn temper. He believes that his daughter should inherit the family head position. In essence, this position can only be inherited by a member of his family. Before locating the two young ladies, he exacted his revenge, which resulted in the loss of his position as the head of the Farrell family. If he handed the position to someone else, Big Brother would likely feel sorry for his family's head. We have been persuading and blocking him, and he is not in good health, so he really has no chance of winning revenge alone. He lacks substantial evidence and fears the opposing party's retaliation. Therefore, he has been with us for decades. The old miracle doctor and the others had long since retired, which meant he still often went out to treat people and teach his apprentices. Even if they knew about the grudges between wealthy families outside, they would not meddle in their own affairs. They rescued the old assistant. They appreciated the old assistant's loyalty and regarded him as a good friend. However, if the old assistant wanted to avenge the Farrell family's head, they wouldn't get involved. As soon as they intervened, they would become enemies of the entire Farrell family. It was not that they were afraid, but they didn't want more innocent people to die. And if they intervened, other wealthy families would know that these old guys were still meddling in Farrell family affairs. In order to guard against them, they might attack them in groups, because those wealthy families were also worried that one day these old guys would meddle in their own affairs. Took care of their family affairs. A few decades ago, family clans were considered difficult to manipulate. Aside from that, they clearly stated that they would retire from the world and do what they said. The affairs of their apprentices in the world have no bearing on them. They only said that they retired from the world, they did not say that their apprentices also retired. For various reasons, they did not want the old assistant to work hard alone. They were helped to find out the whereabouts of the two daughters of the previous matriarch Farrell. It's just that Audrey and her sisters were sent to an orphanage in Wildspoon, far away from Jensburg, and in an era when transportation and communications were underdeveloped, so they couldn't find them after searching for a long time. As time went by, the children grew up and their appearance changed, making it even more difficult for Silver Fox to find people. Unlike today, with the development of the internet, transportation, and communications, the apprentices they trained have expanded their small organizations even further, and their capabilities are much stronger than they were a few decades ago, making it much easier to find people. Chapter 3315. The old miracle doctor took the place of the old assistant and explained the real reason why he had been unable to avenge the current matriarch Farrell, for decades. The old assistant was excited, broke down in tears, and felt guilty, believing he had failed to save the Farrell family's head. When he got excited, he coughed violently. The old miracle doctor quickly took out the medicine he had brought with him, poured out two pills, asked the old assistant to take them, and said, "Big brother, don't be so excited. I haven't met your little Miss Audrey yet." Others also kept trying to comfort the old assistant, telling him not to get too excited. After drinking water and taking medicine, the old assistant's excitement calmed down a bit. Clive was also extremely worried about the old assistant's physique. He had never met the old miracle doctor, but he knew the old doctor's abilities, and Dr. Carden was his disciple. Dr. Carden helped Cameron cure her eyes. The old miracle doctor and the Johnson family were like in-laws. He was also related to Stones and the Johnsons. The relationship, albeit indirect, was irreversible. Seeing that the old assistant had calmed down, he said, "Old gentleman, I'm going to ask my mother to come down. You guys, wait a moment." He then said to the old assistant, "Old gentleman, I believe you are out of control and unable to do what you want. My mother has never complained about you. You don't need to put too much psychological pressure on yourself." Butler. Clive ordered the butler, "Enter these elderly gentlemen. Well, I'll go upstairs." The butler responded respectfully. After Clive went upstairs, he first called Remy. When Remy answered the phone, He whispered, "Come over right away, Remy, and have a look." Remy was shocked. Early in the morning, his future brother-in-law called him over, thinking something had happened. He quickly asked, "Brother, what happened?" "A few old people came here, and one of them claimed to be the old miracle doctor. I have heard the name of the old miracle doctor, but I have never seen him. He is related to the Johnson family. I think you have met him before. Come and have a look. Make sure it's the old miracle doctor or not." Hearing this, Remy said, "The old gentleman is here. Why did he come here?" "My elder brother told me that after Titus's winter vacation, the old gentleman took Titus back to FC Manor to help my fourth brother with his baby. I hadn't heard about the old gentleman visiting Wiltspoon. Okay, I'll go over and have a look right away." Come to think of it, no one would dare pretend to be an old gentleman. If someone pretends to be an old miracle doctor, he can only deceive those outside. Do scammers dare to deceive wealthy people, such as stones? The old miracle doctor was unaware that the Stone family and the Johnson family were getting married. The Johnson family, related to the old miracle doctor, had already met him. Remy guessed that the old miracle doctor might really be here. But why did the old miracle doctor come to the office so early in the morning? Remy wouldn't have guessed it. After notifying Remy to come and recognize him, Clive called Zachary again. Zachary picked up Sonny, who was refusing to get up, and sent him to kindergarten. Sonny complained again, saying that if Serenity could sleep in, he would get up early to go to kindergarten. He said that he didn't want to go to kindergarten. After being carried out of Titus by his uncle, Sonny didn't want to lose to his friends, so he stopped mumbling. After Zachary married Serenity, his relationship with Clive was no longer as tense as before. However, no matter what happened, neither of the two CEOs would take the initiative to call each other. "What's up?" Zachary asked in a low voice and then said to Sonny, "Put your clothes on yourself, and then go wash your face and brush your teeth." "What?" Clive listened, confused, on the phone. Zachary said, "I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to Sonny." "Clive." The two of them were talking on the phone, but Zachary said that he was not talking to him. Clive, guessing that Zachary should be serving the little ancestor Sonny, was good-tempered and did not lose his temper. "You can say it." Zachary finally talked to Clive. If he hadn't known that his cousin was still resting at this point, Clive wouldn't have wanted to talk to Zachary on the phone and listen to Zachary's tone. It seemed like he was going to report to Zachary. Holding back his temper, Clive said, "The old miracle doctor came to the door with my grandmother's assistant. He was accompanied by several elderly people. They may be some of the masters who dominated the world decades ago. Tell Serenity that if you can come, then come with Serenity." "Old miracle doctor?" Zachary frowned. "Are you sure they are the old miracle doctor and others?" "I'm not sure. I'll inform Remy to come and identify him. Remy has met the old miracle doctor. However, I am confident that they won't be lying. None of those worldly experts would dare casually pretend to be someone else. His disciples have connections all over the world. The apprentice who asked about Silver Fox had the widest connections. The one with the loudest voice was the old thief, Sariyah's master. Sariyah was now the head wife of the Lafayette family in Mead Spring. Not only were the identities of the other disciples revealed, but the mere exposure of Sariyah and Lillian's identities frightened many. Lillian, in particular, was rumored to be a master of medicine and poisoning. Not only was she a doctor, but she was also a poisoner, which was scary. Zachary said, "Okay, I will tell Saren now that she will definitely go there, and I will accompany her there." The old person who was the assistant of the previous matriarch Farrell, was found. This was a big deal. Serenity had to go to the Stone family. He naturally accompanied her there. "Okay, you guys come here early, I'll wake up my mother first." Clive said that and hung up the phone. Sonny listened to the whole process, and when he saw Zachary put down his cell phone, Sonny, who had already dressed himself, jumped into Zachary's arms. Zachary hugged him quickly. Sonny asked, "Uncle, where are you taking my aunt?" "I'm going to." Zachary said, "We'll go to your aunt's house. You'll go to kindergarten. It's a holiday in 2 days. Then I'll send you to your aunt's house to stay for a few days." Sonny pouted, "Can't I ask for leave? My uncle is partial and takes my aunt to my aunt Elisa's house instead of me." Zachary patted his little butt and said confidently, "Why am I just partial to your aunt? Could you bite me? My wife is your aunt, and she will live with me for the rest of her life. I don't favor her over anyone. Can you live with your uncle for the rest of your life? When you grow up and get a wife, you may not even recognize your uncle. Tell me, who is closer to me? Of course it is your aunt, so I prefer your aunt, that's a matter. Sonny." It seemed that what Zachary said made sense. Because his mother was not home, Sonny lived with Serenity and Zachary. When his mother came back, he went home. He couldn't stay with his uncle, Zachary, every day. "Then, uncle, when you favor my aunt, just a little, be nice to me. I won't argue with my aunt anymore." Sonny spoke pitifully, but his dark eyes turned around. Chapter 3316. Clive. The two of them were talking on the phone, but Zachary said that he was not talking to him. Clive, guessing that Zachary should be serving the little ancestor Sonny, was good-tempered and did not lose his temper. "You can say it." Zachary finally talked to Clive. If he hadn't known that his cousin was still resting at this point, Clive wouldn't have wanted to talk to Zachary on the phone and listen to Zachary's tone. It seemed like he was going to report to Zachary. Holding back his temper, Clive said, "The old miracle doctor came to the door with my grandmother's assistant. He was accompanied by several elderly people. They may be some of the masters who dominated the world decades ago. Tell Serenity that if you can come, then come with Serenity." "Old miracle doctor." Zachary frowned. "Are you sure they are the old miracle doctor and others?" "I'm not sure. I'll inform Remy to come and identify him. Remy has met the old miracle doctor. However, I am confident that they won't be lying. None of those worldly experts would dare casually pretend to be someone else. His disciples have connections all over the world. The apprentice who asked about Silver Fox had the widest connections. The one with the loudest voice was the old thief, Sarayya's master. Sarayya was now the head wife of the Lafayette family in Mead Spring. Not only were the identities of the other disciples revealed, but the mere exposure of Sarayya and Lillian's identities frightened many. Lillian, in particular, was rumored to be a master of medicine and poisoning. Not only was she a doctor, but she was also a poisoner, which was scary. Zachary said, "Okay, I will tell Saren now that she will definitely go there, and I will accompany her there." The old person who was the assistant of the previous matriarch Farrell, was found. This was a big deal. Serenity had to go to the Stone family. He naturally accompanied her there. "Okay, you guys come here early, I'll wake up my mother first." Clive said that and hung up the phone. Sonny listened to the whole process, and when he saw Zachary put down his cell phone, Sonny, who had already dressed himself, jumped into Zachary's arms. Zachary hugged him quickly. Sonny asked, "Uncle, where are you taking my aunt?" "I'm going to," Zachary said, "we'll go to your aunt's house. You'll go to kindergarten. It's a holiday in 2 days. Then I'll send you to your aunt's house to stay for a few days." Sonny pouted, "Can't I ask for leave? My uncle is partial and takes my aunt to my aunt Elisa's house instead of me." Zachary patted his little butt and said confidently, "Why am I just partial to your aunt? Could you bite me? My wife is your aunt, and she will live with me for the rest of her life. I don't favor her over anyone. Can you live with your uncle for the rest of your life? When you grow up and get a wife, you may not even recognize your uncle. Tell me, who is closer to me? Of course it is your aunt, so I prefer your aunt, that's a matter. Sonny." It seemed that what Zachary said made sense. Because his mother was not home, Sonny lived with Serenity and Zachary. When his mother came back, he went home. He couldn't stay with his uncle, Zachary, every day. Then, "Uncle, when you favor my aunt, just a little, be nice to me. I won't argue with my aunt anymore." Sonny spoke pitifully, but his dark eyes turned around. Chapter 3317. Zachary said with a smile, "Okay, as long as you don't compete with your aunt for favor, you will actually feel that you are very happy. There are too many people who love you. Hurry, brush your teeth, wash your face, then carry your school bag and head downstairs for a snack. I'll ask the driver uncle to take you to kindergarten later. Your aunt and I have something to do, and we can't take you to kindergarten." Sonny pouted again, but in the end, he didn't say anything. He went to wash his face and brush his teeth silently. Zachary returned to the master room, woke up Serenity, and told her that the old miracle doctor had come with the old assistant. Serenity immediately changed her clothes as quickly as possible, finished washing, and hurried downstairs with Zachary. Clive over there called his parents. Knowing that several elderly people had arrived, one of whom was Dr. Carden's master, Audrey was about to go out. She was grabbed by her husband, Daryl. Daryl said, "Wifey, you haven't changed your clothes yet. Since they have arrived at the door, they will be waiting downstairs. At least you should change your clothes and wash your face before going downstairs." Audrey turned around and walked to the bathroom. Daryl said to his son, Clive, wake up your brothers and sisters. Those old seniors are here. You all go meet the old seniors. Clive asked his father, Dad, have you seen them? Daryl said, I don't have the honor to meet them. I just heard their stories. Those seniors are very old. They don't look old. That's because they take good care of themselves. Leaving aside their identities, even if so many elderly people come to visit us, our family must receive them well. Alice has to take care of the baby. If it's inconvenient for her, let her have a good rest. Considering that his daughter-in-law, Alice, was very tired from taking care of the children, Daryl reminded Clive that there was no need to wake her up. His younger son and daughter must scream. After instructing his eldest son, Clive, to mate the two children, Daryl quickly tidied himself up to look more energetic. 10 minutes later, everyone in the Stone family went downstairs, including Alice and her son. Clive told Alice that she insisted on taking her son downstairs to meet the elderly people. This was an opportunity that no one could ask for. How could she miss it? Remy had arrived. When Clive came downstairs, Remy nodded to him. It signified that the old miracle doctor was real. Mom. When Audrey went downstairs, Clive and others stood up and called their mother. When the sitting old assistant saw Audrey, he was stunned at first and then slowly stood up, his expression changing from stunned to excited. Miss Audrey. The old assistant was called Audrey. Audrey had not heard anyone call her Miss Audrey for decades. She didn't have a deep impression of the old assistant, but when she saw him now and heard him calling her name with a trembling voice, Audrey couldn't help but blush. Uncle Jimenez. Audrey shouted in a choked voice, and people walked over quickly. She didn't remember the old assistant's name. She only knew that she called him Uncle Jimenez when she was a child, but that was not Uncle Jimenez's name. She would call him Uncle Jimenez. Her mother told her that Uncle Jimenez was the most loyal person, and everyone would do it. Only Uncle Jimenez would not betray her mother. Chapter 33:18. As a result, Audrey preferred to call him Uncle Jimenez because he was loyal to her mother. Her name was Uncle Jimenez, and her sister also called him Uncle Jimenez. Only her sisters would call him Uncle Jimenez, and he would respond with a smile every time. In Audrey's vague memory, her parents and her uncle were very busy, and her mother was not in good health, so she often asked her second aunt to do things. She contemplated the situation. Her mother's ailing health frequently required her to rely on her second aunt for assistance in managing the company and family matters, which fueled her desire to take control. Her second aunt must have felt that despite her significant contributions, everyone still looked up to her mother, leading her to desire her replacement. She believed that only when she became the family head would everyone completely turn to the second aunt. Why? Audrey called him Uncle Jimenez, and the old assistant sighed with tears in her eyes. The two of them didn't have a deep impression of each other, but Audrey took good care of him. She bore similarities to both her mother and her father. When Uncle Jimenez saw her, he seemed to see the head of the family and her husband. With an apprentice's repeated confirmation, as well as the affirmations from Lillian, Saraya, and others, The old assistant had long known that Audrey was the eldest daughter of the previous matriarch, Miss Audrey Farrell. Miss Harlow Farrell died in a car accident more than 10 years ago. Fortunately, she left behind 2 children, and Miss Audrey Farrell also had children and grandchildren. The previous matriarch finally has a descendant. The old assistant was so excited that he held Audrey's hand. He tried to speak several times but was speechless. His throat seemed to be blocked. Only the old tears continued to fall. Perhaps due to being too excited, coupled with his age and poor health, the old assistant's vision turned black, and he fainted. Uncle Jimenez. Audrey supported the old assistant's limp body, turned pale with fright, and shouted loudly, "Clive, call the ambulance quickly. There is no need to send him to the hospital. My brother is just too excited, and his emotions fluctuate too much. He is the oldest among us, so it is not appropriate for him to be overjoyed or sad." After checking the old assistant's pulse on the ground, the miraculous doctor motioned to Audrey and the others to help the old assistant lie down on the sofa. He pinched the old assistant's body. After a while, the old assistant slowly woke up. Elisa poured a glass of warm water. Audrey took the glass of warm water from her daughter's hand and carefully fed the old assistant a drink. After drinking a few sips of warm water, the old assistant sat up. Audrey quickly stopped him. "Uncle Jimenez, if you feel uncomfortable, lie down first and don't sit up." "Uncle Jimenez, I didn't think we could meet again. You have to take care of your health. Can we all control our emotions?" "Uncle Jimenez, don't get too excited. Your health is important." Audrey, with tears in her eyes, successfully persuaded the old assistant. She could understand the old assistant's excitement. She also knew that the old assistant had a lot to say to her, but even if they meet again decades later, even if there are thousands of words, she can't say a single word now. It was better to comfort Uncle Jimenez first and let the old man calm down before talking slowly. Uncle Jimenez nodded gently and held Audrey's hand tightly. Audrey patted the back of his hand and said warmly, "Uncle Jimenez, I won't leave, don't worry." The old miracle doctor also said to him, "Brother, if you don't control your emotions, if it happens again like last year, even if I try my best to learn all my life, I won't be able to pull you back from Yama." Everyone called him a miracle doctor, but he was not really a god. He was also an ordinary man and an ordinary old man. He didn't have the ability to reach heaven. If it weren't for the master's and apprentice's excellent medical skills and their cultivation of many precious medicinal materials, Uncle Jimenez would definitely not be alive today. Uncle Jimenez narrowly avoided death when they rescued him back then. Chapter 3319. Last year, the old assistant had a near-death experience. He tried hard to calm himself down. He nodded to his old friends and then said to Audrey, "Miss Audrey, I will try my best to live until you avenge the matriarch of the Farrell family and let her be punished, otherwise, I will not be able to rest in peace even after I die. It's also my fault. For so many years, I have not been able to avenge the matriarch, nor can I find the whereabouts of you and your sisters." If he had gotten news about Audrey and Harlow earlier, Harlow would not have died so early. He failed to protect the previous matriarch, and he failed to protect her two daughters. He felt guilty toward the previous matriarch. After special training, he came to the previous matriarch, Farrell, and did a lot of things for her. However, he did not do the two most important things well. He didn't even have the face to meet the current matriarch Farrell, in the underworld. The base where he was trained immediately arranged for a new assistant to serve the current matriarch Farrell after the death of the previous matriarch, and the current matriarch Farrell took over her sister's position. All the connections that he used to have access to are now used by the current matriarch Farrell's assistant. The network of contacts he had cultivated did not betray him. But when they were being chased by the current matriarch Farrell, they died one by one in order to protect him. The current matriarch Farrell really wanted to kill them all. SHW was so cruel to kill her older sister, previous matriarch Farrell, and her younger sister, and she was also very cruel to her two nieces. How could he spare their lives? He would be hunted down if he escaped, but there was still a glimmer of hope. If he didn't escape, he would die. The current matriarch Farrell had one thing in common with her hatred towards him, which was that she had once confessed her love to him, but he rejected her. He was the assistant of the previous matriarch Farrell, and would never marry. If he wanted to get married, the previous matriarch Farrell had to marry him. But she had someone she loved, and she gave birth to two daughters for the man she loved. The moment the previous matriarch Farrell got married, he knew that he could only be her assistant for the rest of his life. Being able to stay with her and see her happy, he felt content and very happy. If there hadn't been that seemingly accidental car accident, everything would have been so beautiful. Uncle Jimenez, this is not your fault. It's because that woman is too cruel. She must have planned it all a long time ago. My mother trusted her so much. She was also raised by her. An elder sister is like a mother. My mother did it, but she took her life and her father and grandparents. It could be said that the car accident planned by the current matriarch made her and her sister orphans. When the two sisters were sent to the orphanage, they had already experienced all the ups and downs of life. She was also bullied in the welfare home because her younger sister was too young, and she had to protect her younger sister. As a child, she had to take care of her younger sister like an adult and protect her. She often fought with other children for her younger sister. She was both happy and sad to have the chance for her sister to be adopted by a good family. The good news was that her sister was adopted by a good family and will be able to live a stable life with the love of adoptive parents. The sad thing was that her parents and family were all gone, and she only had her sister as a relative. Now that they are separated, she doesn't know if she will be able to see them again in this life. If Audrey had known that her sister would suffer so much harm if she was adopted, she would not have agreed to let her sister be adopted. When she grew up and became capable, she looked for her sister everywhere. After many years, she only saw her sister's grave. At that time, she didn't remember much about her childhood, and her understanding of her own life experience was also very vague. She only felt that her only family from her mother's side was gone. Chapter 3320. In front of her sister's grave, Audrey cried so hard that she couldn't bring her sister back to life. She could only love her two nieces, Serenity and Liberty, even more. The two sisters had a tragic childhood. Later, when the sisters were separated, they knew the cause of the deaths of their parents and family members. Audrey hated the current matriarch with all her teeth. The old assistant said bitterly, "If others don't know, unless she doesn't do anything, she will pay the price for what she has done." Audrey said, "Yes, Uncle Jimenez, she will pay the price for what she did. It's just that I'm useless. I don't have much evidence in my hand. It's just this little evidence, and because all the people in the past are dead and there is no corroboration, it is difficult to prove her." The old assistant said, blaming himself until he burst into tears. Audrey said coldly, "I don't care whether I have evidence or not, I will take back the power of the Farrell family. If I am not the head of the family, I will let my niece sit on it. No matter how much she does or how much she loses, in the end, it's better to return it to my mother's family. She has also received retribution now, and her life is not good. Her son, daughter-in-law, and adopted daughter are making trouble every day. Oh, and the adopted daughter is dead. Her biological daughter did not grow up by her side. It is difficult for mother and daughter to truly be united. Give me the evidence in Uncle Jimenez's hand, and I will prepare a copy and send it to Catherine to ensure that her mother and she can no longer be of the same mind." Catherine, the young head of the Farrell family, had a very hard job. She also told Audrey that if there was evidence to prove that her aunt died at the hands of her mother, she would return the position of heir to Audrey. If Audrey wanted to train Liberty to rise to the top, that was also Audrey's business. Catherine didn't care. She just wanted to leave the Farrell family and be herself. The Farrell family had too many bad habits and too many unkind family rules. Catherine couldn't adapt and was suffering inside. The old assistant also learned about the current situation of the Farrell family. He said, "The current matriarch deserves it. It would be best if she died at the hands of the person closest to her. That would be true retribution. The current matriarch Farrell used to cruelly kill her eldest sister, her family, and then her younger sister. They were all murderous to their loved ones. If the close relatives of the Farrell family, such as her three sons, were to kill her, whether they died or not, it would be retribution for the Farrell family." The old assistant added, "I have kept all the evidence, but I didn't bring it with me when I came here this time. I came here mainly to see with my own eyes. Miss Audrey, you're doing well now, and I am relieved. But the old assistant hasn't met Miss Harlow's two daughters, Serenity and Liberty, yet. When he saw Miss Audrey's children, they were all the best among people. Audrey's husband, Daryl, could be seen at a glance as a doting wife. Without Daryl's favor, Audrey would not have been able to flourish in the Stone Group. The excellent genes of the family master were passed down to Audrey and were not lost. There were already successors." This was the most gratifying thing for the old assistant after seeing Audrey. After the old assistant's mood stabilized a lot, Audrey introduced her family members to the old assistant one by one. The old assistant showed a rare smile and praised Clive and others. Elisa was Audrey's only daughter. According to the rules of the Farrell family, Elisa was the orthodox successor. Even though the old assistant knew that Audrey was going to train Liberty to take over the Farrell family, he couldn't help but look at Elisa a few more times. The old assistant didn't say a word about Audrey's decision. Miss Harlow's two daughters had experienced ups and downs, were tough-minded, and were well-nurtured. They had an advantage over Miss Audrey's only daughter. Elisa was used to being willful and had never endured hardship. Letting her take over the Farrell family would simply cost her her life. She also clearly refused. She did not want to take over the Farrell family in place of her mother. She was not suitable to be a master. Chapter 3321. Uncle Jimenez, a Harlow's eldest daughter, Liberty, has gone to Jensburg. She is now developing in Jensburg, so you won't be able to see her for a while. Audrey said it warmly. She knew the reason why Uncle Jimenez looked at Elisa more. Uncle Jimenez was probably worried that no one from her mother's lineage could take over the Farrell family. Uncle Jimenez was the most loyal. He believed that the Farrell family was from the lineage of his head. Even though Clarissa, the current matriarch, had been the head of the family for more than 40 years, Uncle Jimenez still did not recognize Clarissa's legal status. Clarissa didn't want Uncle Jimenez to live, but she just felt that Uncle Jimenez was alive. She always felt that she was sitting in the wrong position. Without Uncle Jimenez, her sisters would all be dead. It was only natural for her to take over the Farrell family. It seems justified. Serenity is on her way here. You will be able to see her later. Serenity looks more like her father, and Liberty looks more like Harlow. Liberty's son, Sonny, looks very much like Harlow when he was a child. If he puts on a skirt and puts on two pigtails, he will look even more like her. Liberty was so fat that she lost her original shape, so Audrey never found her sister. The old assistant nodded happily. I know everything. My friends told me. Audrey solemnly thanked several elderly people. She thanked them for saving Uncle Jimenez's life and allowing her and Uncle Jimenez to reunite after decades of separation. Uncle Jimenez was still alive today, thanks to their care over the years. Although there was not much evidence in Uncle Jimenez's hands, Uncle Jimenez existed like a family member in Audrey's heart. Now that they can see each other again, it is like finding a family member. These are all the works of the old miracle doctor and others. As a junior member of her loyal uncle, she naturally wanted to express her gratitude to several seniors. You're welcome, Miss Audrey. We also appreciate my brother's loyalty, so we meddled in other matters and saved his life. We haven't done enough. If we had confirmed that Miss Audrey was in Wildspoon earlier, we could have changed the outcome of many things. Audrey said, "How can you blame the seniors? I have only recently determined my life experience." Her memory was that no one in her family was left. She and her sister were constantly being transferred, and finally the people who protected them died, and the two sisters ended up in an orphanage in Wildspoon. At that time, the incident happened suddenly, and the two sisters, at a young age, had no idea of the truth of the tragedy. She has experienced too much, and she also has some memory loss. Needless to say, her sister, Harlow, will not be able to remember it, even if she is alive. Fortunately, God has eyes. Audrey said gratefully, "Let us meet again." She took her family to express her gratitude to several seniors once again. At this time, A servant came in and said respectfully to Audrey, "Madam, young Master York and young mistress are here. Please quickly." No need to invite, Serenity got out of the car and hurried to the house. Zachary quickly followed her and whispered to her, "Saren, slow down and be careful." She still carried the fruit of their love in her belly. As if Serenity didn't hear his instructions, a gust of wind blew into the room and landed in front of Audrey and others. "Old sir." Serenity recognized the old miracle doctor, and when he saw the old miracle doctor present, he first greeted him respectfully. The old miracle doctor nodded, smiled, and said, "Miss York, long time no see." He looked at Serenity's face and thought he was very good. When he got home, he could tell Jane that Serenity was well taken care of by the York family. Zachary doted on his wife. He heard that the men of the York family were all slaves to their wives, and they doted on their wives very much. Chapter 3322. Just like the men in his son-in-law's family, no wonder the two families had close contacts, they were the same kind of people. "Old sir." Zachary also greeted the old miracle doctor respectfully. The old miracle doctor nodded again. Then, he introduced several old friends to Zachary and Serenity. Finally, he pointed at Uncle Jimenez and said to Serenity, "Miss York, this big brother of mine is the person you have been looking for. Your aunt calls him Uncle Jimenez." "Old sir, just call me Serenity." Serenity looked at Uncle Jimenez and said, "Hello, Grandpa Jimenez." Serenity was a junior and had never met the old assistant, and the old assistant had never met her. Therefore, neither Serenity nor old assistant were as excited as Audrey. Uncle Jimenez nodded with a smile and said, "You must be Serenity." Audrey was right. Serenity and Harlow were not very similar. At first glance, they may seem to be similar, but upon closer inspection, they no longer look alike. It seemed that Serenity had inherited the genes of the Hunt family. "Serenity, I am Serenity, and my sister Liberty went to Jensburg and will not return to Wildspoon until the new year." Uncle Jimenez nodded. After asking about Serenity's current situation, he was even more pleased to know that Serenity was living a good life and was a self-reliant person. Even if the descendants of the family had experienced misfortunes when they were young, they will become talented when they grow up. The old lady of the York family was very discerning and recognized Serenity's excellence, so she persuaded Zachary to marry her back home, as she would not be at a loss for Zachary. The descendants of his family master were very outstanding. "Uncle Jimenez, gentlemen, please move over to have breakfast." Audrey invited everyone to have dinner first. She and Daryl went forward and personally rescued Uncle Jimenez. The old miracle doctor and his old friends were still very strong and did not need help. In the words of the old miracle doctor, they could kill a bull, so there was no need for help. After everyone had breakfast at the Stone family, Audrey talked a lot with Uncle Jimenez until Uncle Jimenez could hardly hold on anymore. Audrey quickly arranged accommodations for several elderly people. The old miracle doctor made Uncle Jimenez take two more pills. After Uncle Jimenez lay down and fell asleep, the old miracle doctor checked his pulse and then walked out of the room with confidence. "Old sir, is my loyal uncle okay?" Audrey asked with concern. "He's okay. His mood is much more stable now. He is no longer overjoyed or sad. He is fine. The medicine I gave him helps him sleep and makes him sleep more peacefully. He sleeps until the evening and then wakes up. His mental state can be much better. Recently, he protested to us and insisted on coming to see you. He didn't eat or sleep well. Sometimes we had to put some sleeping pills in his food to get him to sleep. After Titus took his winter vacation, the old miracle doctor flew back to Annenberg with his apprentice and grandson, lived in FC Manor, and helped his apprentice take care of the children. He missed Fabian, son of Tim and Lillian. The apprentice always disliked Fabian for crying. He didn't want to say that his apprentice was a crybaby when he was a child, and Fabian just inherited his mother's crybaby. Knowing that Uncle Jimenez insisted on flying to Wildspoon, everyone was worried about his health, so they notified him to rush back and accompany Uncle Jimenez here. Old sir, thank you. Audrey was grateful. The old miracle doctor said, "We are all relatives, one family, so there is no need to be so polite. My old brother is seriously ill. He saw you today. He may feel a little better, but I'm afraid that he has been holding on for so long because he wants to avenge and find you. In this way, only then can he survive. Now that his wish has been fulfilled, I'm afraid that he will lose his temper all of a sudden and may leave us soon. In short, you should be mentally prepared." End of chapters 3311 to 3322 of Married at First Sight. Please wait for the next chapters. Don't forget access website novelsaudio.com every day to update, and in the meantime, don't leave the website. You can listen to other famous novel titles such as Ex-Husband's Regret by Evelyn M.M., The Broken Warrior's Daughter by Cooper, When His Eyes Opened by Simple Silence, Can't Win Me Back by Ginger Sue, The CEO's Ex-Wife is a Famous Doctor by Lee L.H.Y.Z., You're Gonna Miss Me When I'm Gone by Cora Smith. And more.